UNC Radio, you are on the air. Is this Mary?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's the third time I've called. I was afraid you'd given me the wrong number.
No. We had another guest call in, and he was telling us all about the songs he was writing. He's got a new album out and all this kind of cool stuff. But now we get to talk about my favorite thing, theater.
Yes. Okay, yes. And there's an awful lot of theater happening in Chicago. It's been a busy year.
Well, let me explain that. We are talking to theater critic Mary Shang Barnage, who is, by the way, a brilliant theater critic. This year we've been taking your reviews, as you know, and also putting them on TogleTheater.com, so our readers can read them too. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going through them every week, and you write two a week. And they're just what you cram into about, 200, maybe 250 words is quite amazing. I didn't realize just what a fine theater critic you are until I started reading you literally week by week by week. And then I'm like, whoa, you just don't get the credit to which you are entitled, Mary.
And I mean, shucks. Actually, our word count is 400 words.
Oh, 400, okay.
But I still have explained to actors and theater artists that what they've been rehearsing for weeks and weeks, okay, and have all this time to hone it and polish it and everything. We have about 18 hours to take everything they've done and cram it into 400 words.
It's true, yeah. I mean, that's been the story that people don't understand. It's like, why didn't you mention this? Or how could you not realize? Or didn't you know that the second week of previews, nothing was working and it's working so much better now? And the critic can only say, look, I was there for an hour and 45 minutes on this particular date. This is what I thought about. This is what I saw. Boom. That's all we can do,
Okay, well, it's also that some people have gotten used to websites, because on websites they have unlimited space.
Yeah.
And first the people on websites can go on for hundreds and hundreds of words, and frequently they do, and they mention everything except whether the chairs were comfortable.
or they'll mention that too, which is actually helpful. But,
The other thing is that a lot of the website people, they leave the play, they go into the coffee shop next door, and they write their review right away.
Yeah.
And you look at it, and you can tell because it's misspelled. They've got names wrong, and you can feel the adrenaline coming off them.
Well, and there's something to be said for that kind of quick writing, too. I mean, remember, back in the day, Broadway critics would walk out of a long show 20 minutes before it was over to run to the telephone to yell their review at the copy person at the newspaper. So, it's almost going back to that in a weird way.
In New York, maybe.
Yeah. But it's not like that anymore. But we also have to remember that, and I talk about this in my play, that critics, they have to see 3, 4, maybe 5 shows a week, week after week after week. These people, sometimes they'll go see a show, they'll write 2,000 words about that show, but they've seen that show 3 times. They haven't seen any others in a month, or written about any others. So they can concentrate and be really, really into that show and get all the nuances and write 2,000 words and be brilliant about it. They don't have to go back 2 days later and do the exact same thing about another show,
Exactly. I hear somebody giggling there in the background. Is that Joyce?
That would be my fine missus.
Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hello, Joyce.
Happy New Year, Mary.
Happy New Year to you. Up until last week, we were having a California winter here.
Ooh.
Okay, with temperatures, in the 50s. And then last week, there was one day where we got every kind of precipitation except frogs and fishes. Ice, sleet, snow, we got it all.
Wow.
Yeah, there was flooding where you guys are.
Did it ground
right
the planes, Mary? How were the airports?
Down around Missouri, down the flatlands, they've got flooding there. Yeah. Fortunately, here by the lake, the lake gives us good drainage. so we don't usually get flooding here.
Okay, well, good. Thank goodness. You know, yeah. I mean, we had flooding here 2.5 years ago.
Yes,
it just missed
yes.
where we are
oh, yes.
because we're higher elevation right around the school mm-hmm. than the rest of Greeley. But parts of Greeley got washed out, and there was a lot of damage.
Flooding, a lot of flooding.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, you guys will get mudslides. Mm-hmm. Any place there's mountains, okay, you get mudslides when you get a lot of water.
We didn't get that. We just had flooding, and then, of course, two seasons before that, in the summer, we get fires. Fires
yeah, oh,
are the
they
really
awful.
Scary things
that
coming
awful,
off the...
Because
it's so dry here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mary, let's talk about what you really...
your passion.
Your thing. You are and have been... How many years have you been a theater critic in Chicago?
25 years now.
Wow.
That's all? Did you start... You were a critic by the time I started... Criticism. I've been
okay,
at it.
Okay. Yes. And okay. I joined the Theater Critics Association about a year before I was really qualified for membership. But But Jonathan sort of fudged it.
Right. But what I'm saying is,
being a little early.
I joined. You know, I've been a member more than 25 years myself, and I think you've been at the game a little longer. So it's probably 35 years. That you've been a critic, no?
No, I started in 1989.
Right. Oh, okay, so almost 25, yeah. Just around the time I started.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
And not for one instant in all that time have I ever thought of giving it up and taking some other job.
Wow. That's terrific, Mary.
Wow. I mean, I have to admit, I'm really curious, because you used to write for the Chicago Reader. Do you still at all ever?
The reader has gone through two different owners over the years, and each one has made changes and made cuts, and so the reader now is it's not the paper it once was.
Mm. Well, look at what happened to the Village Voice in New York. That got gutted to pieces. It's got a new owner now who's promising to beef up the arts coverage again. I'm taking the wait and see approach, but that would be really cool if he does. But so you write, two reviews for Windy City Times now, and they're syndicated to Total Theater. But are you able to?
And I also write feature stories for theaterinchicago.com.
Oh, good, theaterinchicago.com. I didn't know about that. That's great. So between that, you are able to. Survive.
Yes. I don't make much of a living, but I get by.
That's all that, you know, that's what counts, man. I could never, as a critic, I was never able to get by. I got by doing other journalism in theater, but just as a critic, no way. Not in New York, not even here where it's cheaper to live. So my hat's off.
Okay, well, I'm also old enough to collect Social Security now.
Oh, all right, fine. You were in the military, so that probably helps too, no?
No.
No? No? Whoa.
I wasn't in long enough.
Oh, okay. Well, you've certainly been in the trenches of the theater for 25 years.
Good segue. Good segue, David.
So this year, how were things in Chicago theater?
The usual more than 800 plays. Okay, if you came back, you would see. Okay, now big news. Okay, the Signal Ensemble, Red Moon Theater, and Mary Archie—they're
gone.
Are all folding up their tents.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yep. Mary, the only one that I really knew of and saw, I think, back when I visited Chicago was Mary Archie. I kind of remember them, but
Mary Archie and Straw Dog were two of the seven theaters within three blocks of my front door.
Yeah. Wow.
But what happened was that someone is going to redo the corner building that they're in.
Yeah.
And redoing it means that they're going to have to knock it down to the ground and then rebuild it. And they'll put the ceramic eagles on the outside and all of that. But there really isn't going to be room on the second floor, for two loft theaters. So Straw Dog is planning on finding a new space and reopening next season.
Okay, but the other two?
Pardon?
The other two, no, Mariachi, no, and the other
okay,
one.
Okay, but then Mariachi, okay, Rich Kotovsky says, well, he's over 60 now, and, okay, and he just would rather go freelance.
Oh, okay. Was this the year or was it last year in Chicago when you had that freak thing like three major Chicago people, theater people died in freaky ways within a week or two of each other? Was that last year or was that in 2015?
Yes, that was last year.
It was last year, okay.
So, okay, yeah. No one's really died, but let me tell you more about the theater company.
Sure, please.
Okay, now Signal Ensemble decided to fold its tents because all of its actors are in demand in other places, so they decided, well, we're all working, but we're not really a company anymore.
Okay.
So they're just disbanding the company and going freelance.
Well, that's not so bad. That's okay.
Okay. Red Moon and their giant puppets, they couldn't pay the rent on that warehouse down in Pilsen. So they're folding up for a bit. Okay, but I'm sure we are going to see those giant puppets around somewhere.
Very likely. You know, if Breton Puppet Theater in Vermont can do it, so can they. Yeah.
Okay, but now good news.
Ah.
A little old timeline theater that's been operating out of a church basement with no elevators and stairs everywhere, and the bathrooms down in the basement of the community center and so forth, is one step closer to moving into a no longer operational school up in fashionable Andersonville.
Sweet. Okay.
Okay. Now, not only is that good news, because people who can't do stairs will finally be able to go see plays there.
Hmm.
Okay, but also the people who are going to buy up the school and turn it into something else. At first they weren't going to put a theater in the auditorium, and then they thought, well, as long as we have this auditorium, and of course all the neighborhood around Andersonville said, look, we've got restaurants, we've got clubs here. If you put in apartments, that's not going to help us. You put in a theater, all these people are going to be coming here, and they're going to want to eat and drink around the play.
Of course. That's the way it always works. Yes.
So Chris Jones wrote about how it really behooves a neighborhood
to bring in
a theater.
Yeah, you mentioned Chris Jones, a mutual acquaintance and friend of ours, and theater critic. He had a pretty nice year, the Chicago critic Chris Jones. What happened to him?
Okay. Oh, he's still reviewing for the Trib. I think he won the Nathan Award.
Yeah, he won the George G. Nathan Award for theater criticism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he deserves it.
Yeah. He's one of the best out there. I wish you would win that some year, Mary. But he really has a bigger shall we say reach or venue than.
Okay. Yeah. Better connected than I am.
Well, okay. Than both of us, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but back to theaters and neighborhoods wanting them. Okay, Northlight, that's been operating up in Skokie, mm-hmm. after having moved around to a bunch of different places, all of which are just exactly too far away from public transportation to get to.
Yeah.
Someone is trying to build an art center right in the middle of Evanston and decided, well, we want a theater in here.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Okay. For the same reason that Andersonville wanted one in their neighborhood. Okay. We've got all these places to eat and drink. We want people to come here and use them.
Cool. So, which theater did you say Northlight is thinking about that?
Okay. Northlight is going to be moving into this new building once they build it.
Oh, so that's a done deal. They're going to do that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. That's the plan so far.
All right. So, Mary, what of the shows that you have seen this year in Chicago. What are two or the three of the best or most exciting Chicago productions or performances that you have seen?
Okay, performances, let's see. I've decided that that Aaron Posner is a genius.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, because I've seen his Stupid Fucking Bird, which is the smartest analysis of analysis deconstruction without being stupid and academic
okay.
of Chekhov I have ever seen.
Whoa, okay, wow.
He did a Tempest at Chicago Shakes with magicians and pilobolus dancers.
Ooh.
Okay, and all these different elements and somehow managed to keep all the plates in the air without anything falling down.
That's pretty cool.
And so I've decided Aaron Posner's a genius. A playwright named Madeline George is also a genius.
Oh, wow, okay. I know that name. What did she do before this year? And then what did she...
You might have seen Seven Homeless Mammoths Wander Through New England.
Mm-hmm.
No. But with this one, it was the Curious Case of the Watson Intelligence.
Oh, that's been done all over the place. I haven't seen it, but I've read about it. Was that great?
Okay, well, it's very smart, and it went up just about the same time as way up in Glencoe Writers Theater was doing Marjorie Prime.
Okay.
Which is a smarter play than what's his name, Jordan? A smarter play than that playwright has ever written before.
Oh, okay, great.
I hope he does more. But the point is that there were two plays about how robots make us happy, but is that a good thing?
Okay.
Going up at the same time. What else have I seen? House Theater did part three of a 4 years in the making three-part trilogy called The Hammer Trinity.
Okay.
Which was just marvelous. Okay, for among other reasons than when the part three play eventually they did all three plays in one day, one after the other.
Good Lord.
In part one, one of the actors who plays a character who does lots and lots of fighting dislocated his shoulder. The director stepped in with a script, and played his part with book in hand for all three of the plays that day.
Well, that sounds...
By the time we get to part three, there's a bloke with a book in one hand saying, he fights furiously, he seems to be everywhere at once. Because, of course, the guy with the book can't go through all the fight choreography. but the audience is cheering and howling because they understand what's going on and what he's doing. and they are cheering all on.
That's excellent. That's when people say that's what they want from live theater, the spontaneity, that you don't know what to expect, things go wrong, but the show must go on, which was really a producer's thing rather than an actor's thing.
But that gets my the show must go on award.
Absolutely.
For this year.
So, also, man, were there any musicals? I mean, I guess, I don't know if Chicago's really known for that, but any musicals that stuck out?
Generally, I don't go to too many musicals. Scott Morgan at Windy City Times loves musicals, and also he can drive out to the suburbs.
Ah, gotcha. Do you see any of the big or small touring shows from New York? Any of the shows that came from Broadway?
I'm trying to remember. Generally, I stay clear of those also.
Okay.
Simply because those plays play downtown in the big theaters, and it's Okay, and I'm a little slower running the half mile to the latrines at the at the rest of the movie. However, okay, the touring company of Kinky Boots came through. Now, you know that Kinky Boots did its tryout here in Chicago.
Oh, I didn't remember. Yeah.
Before it went to Broadway with Cyndi Lauper and Harvey Fierstein writing new songs and new scenes up in their hotel room and flowing pages at actors from day to day. But you know what we did yesterday? Well, this is what we're doing tonight.
Well, yeah, that's the way they used to do these things.
Okay, yeah. Well, okay. Apparently it paid off because the show was a big hit on Broadway. Okay, and the touring company is good as well.
Oh, good.
Okay, so if it comes out your way, make sure you see it.
Well, no, I saw Kinky Boots on Broadway, and it won the Tony Award for Best Musical that year. It's a good show. I was not really looking forward to it. I didn't care about the storyline so much. I didn't know I'm not a huge Cyndi Lauper fan. I know Harvey Fierstein can write a nice book, but I really enjoyed it, a lot more than I expected.
Okay, what's not to like? Okay, but let me mention a couple of shows that might tour around your area. This is a connection to your region.
Okay.
Something that a couple of theaters in Chicago did this year that is such an incredibly smart idea. I'm amazed nobody thought of it earlier. Okay, now there's a theater called the Royal George, which is like three theaters under one roof. And while Late Night Catechism has been running for over 15 years in one of them.
Still there, okay, yeah.
The other two are empty most of the time.
Hmm.
Okay, but one's a cabaret space, okay, and one's a 400-seat main stage. But whoever is looking for commercial productions just can't seem to get behind the concept. Does the name Hershey Felder ring any bells with you?
Oh, sure. He did that Gershwin show, and he did.
Yes,
he does his piano things. Yeah.
Yes, Hershey Felder does lots of one man famous composers show. Him and the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, every time he plays the Royal George, audiences come pouring in to see him.
Uh-huh.
So the management of the Royal George said, well, why don't we get him to find acts for us?
Okay,
he's now in charge of finding other cheap little one to three performer shows.
Hmm.
That can play in the main stage, and bring audiences in. Now the one that's playing there now is something called Baritones Unbound.
What is that, like three tenors, only three baritones?
Better than three tenors.
Ah.
Okay, because it's not three guys in penguin suits belching forth fortissimi.
Yeah, and they're doing show tunes and pop.
I love to show off that way. Okay, in this case, it's three baritones taking us through 1,300 years of history of Ooh. Baritone roles. Okay, so they start with Gregorian chant and go through madrigals, and they do opera, and they do Broadway, and they do jazz, and they do rock and roll. Elvis Presley was a baritone, you know.
That makes sense. Yeah, and isn't one of the three baritones a big semi-famous Broadway actor? One of them is pretty well-known in New York.
Mark Kudish?
Kudish, of course, yeah. He's done a lot of Broadway, yeah.
Yes, he's one of the guys who wrote it. Okay, the other two baritones, we've got a Wagnerian opera baritone who plays a mean guitar and does a nice little can-can, proving that opera singers can actually move.
Huh.
Okay, the third baritone is kind of a skinny little guy. Okay, proving that that you can't always spot a baritone just by his physique. Rick Astley, forgive us. Okay. As soon as I looked at him, I thought, this is the Rick Astley. Okay, the guy with the beautiful deep voice. Okay, but you're surprised because you look at him and you think he's a pipsqueak.
Right.
On the other hand, the piano player tries to sing lead on Folsom Prison Blues, but very quickly takes up the harmonica because he is definitely not a baritone.
Okay. We can't all be. Well, cool.
My point is, Baritones Unbound, I think this is like the second or third time it's ever been performed, which means that when it leaves here, it will probably tour. And so if it comes into down around your parts, make sure you see it.
Cool. Yeah, and obviously if it comes to New York and sits down there for a while, I would try to see it too when I get back out there. So
this is too good for New York.
thanks so much. So speaking of good things, Mary, last question for you. What are you looking forward to, theater-wise and otherwise, in 2016 in Chicago?
I am so glad you asked that.
Me too.
I think Denver is one of the theaters that got the rolling premiere of a play called Colossal by Andrew Hinderaker.
I don't know it, but okay.
It's a play about football, and the hero is a guy in a wheelchair who's been severely injured as a result of football.
Okay, well, there's a movie about that out now. It's called Concussion. I mean, it's a big story now in the film.
Okay,
yeah.
I know, but Colossal is an actual play.
Okay, yeah.
And Andrew Hinderaker, the playwright, has specified that if anybody wants to do it, the actor playing the guy in the wheelchair has got to be an actor in a wheelchair.
A paralyzed person. In other words.
Well, somebody who actually uses a wheelchair.
A wheelchair for real.
Now, in the premiere, it was played by a Chicago actor named Michael Patrick Thornton, who, make the long story short, suffered a stroke at the ridiculous age of something like 27.
Eesh.
That's
a stroke of bad luck. Yeah.
Funny.
Thank you.
But what I am looking forward to is next year he is playing Richard III.
Oh, wow.
Now I've seen him play one badass Iago before. Even with the wheelchair and about one and a half arms, he took out guys twice his size, because with the right fight choreographer, mm-hmm. Stephen Hawking could kick your ass.
I don't know about that.
Yes, he would, and I know exactly how he would do it, because it's all a matter of the fight choreography.
I guess.
Thornton the Iago had all kinds of weapons concealed in the chair.
Oh, clever.
So
he wouldn't be fighting fair. It wouldn't be like a fist fight. You would have, shall we say, an unfair fight then.
Sometimes there's no arms. The big guy comes at him, he grabs the guy's weapon hand, twists his arm behind him, and down he goes.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
But the point is that this same actor who is going to be playing Richard III, and apparently the American Rehab Institute, has gotten in on the act too. They've been doing things with computerized exoskeletons. Sort of Iron Man style that paralyzed people can wear sort of like a suit.
Huh.
Okay, and it will support their legs and arms and move for them. Okay, and it's just possible. Okay, we're not sure yet, but it's just possible that that's going to make an appearance in this Richard III.
So a mechanical exoskeleton will be, well, I don't, it may happen. For now, it's just a hunch.
But it is what I am looking forward to. Because a couple of years ago, somebody did a biker gang Richard III.
So I've
seen all kinds of Richard III's. But this will be the first time I will see a guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds
Richard III, and I know it's an actor who can do it.
No, I mean, it does sounds really, really interesting. You make Chicago theater sound so vital and so interesting. I mean, it is, even without your help. But your excitement and exuberance and enthusiasm about it just adds to it tenfold. I want to tell everybody that you can read Mary Shang Barnage's reviews in Windy City Times and also at TogleTheater.com. And what's the place that you write the articles for? Remind us again, please.
It's a website called TheaterInChicago.com.
Theater, and is it spelled E-R or R-E there? Do you know?
Theater in Chicago is R-E.
R-E. Theater in Chicago.com. Look for Mary Shen Barnage, our great friend.
And the Theater in Chicago website, it's not only my stories, but it also has all the reviews and all the information on damn near every show in Chicago playing in any room bigger than a latrine stall.
And maybe even some of those. Well,
I tell people any space bigger than a latrine stall has a theater in it. Smaller than a latrine stall, there's probably a poetry reading there.
I don't want to be doing any slamming in that, let me tell you. So, Mary, I want to wish you a most, most happy New Year, a very happy and healthy 2016. It's always wonderful to talk to you, to hear from you, and just lots more reviewing, lots more great theater, lots more insights from you. You're such a wonderful person, and we thank you.
It's wonderful to be able to talk about Chicago theater to everybody. But let me know if you know anyone from out there that's coming into town.
Yeah, and vice versa, and also if they're still looking for plays. For the Royal George, maybe not the main stage, but a side stage over at the Royal George. I've got one for him. You know, if he can connect me with Hershey Felder, and he's got a 60-seater, I wouldn't say no.
They do. There's a cabaret space there, and Hershey Felder handles your kind of show for the Royal George, and Michael Ingersoll does them for the Metropolis out in the suburbs.
Oh, cool. Well, there you go. I mean, these are people I should probably contact and beg and hope to get to know, because I would love to bring my show, well, to anywhere, but to Chicago. I'd love you to see it. I'd be afraid to read your reviews, Mary, because you would find all the things wrong with it.
Wouldn't review it. I know you too well.
Well, you would give a caveat, not a caveat emptor. What's the phrase?
Full disclosure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, if reviewers who knew me couldn't review my shows, I'd never have anybody able to review me.
Someplace else that you could take your show.
Where's that?
Before I told you about the two buildings at Belmont and Racine that have seven theaters between them.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, in the space of three blocks on Belmont between Halsted and Clifton.
Uh-huh.
There are four comedy clubs.
Oh.
The Annoyance Theater has moved into a great big building that was once a Japanese imports shop.
Okay.
Every artist who ever lived in Lakeview past 1960 has something that they bought at that shop. The point is that hey, that you've got the Playground Comedy Club, you've got two theaters at the Annoyance, you've got Comedy Sports on the same block, and a little ways over, you've got a big gallery that's running an interactive romp called We Got a Bingo right now. Okay, but the point is you've got four comedy clubs in a three-block stretch.
Whoa. Whoa. So, I mean, I'm not doing really stand-up per se. It's still a play, but it could work in that setting, I think.
No, it's not stand-up. These are all improv.
Oh, improv. Okay. Okay. You know, and it would be that kind of crowd that I would look for. Thank you, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are definitely things to approach and think about as I go forward. And
there's a whole slew of places you can play, and they're all within a six-block stretch, and I think they're all on the same side of the street.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
And do your show, you don't even have to cross the street.
Well, you know what? After the show, so, you know, this week I'll probably want to pick your brain and get a little more information and contact folks and, you know, what I should try and even think about asking for and stuff. But that's for off the air. That's not for our listeners. That's just for me to plan.
Your listeners are probably thinking, I'll say, quit talking shop, you guys.
Yeah, I know. Well, we got to play some more music. We also have 5 minutes away from our actual New Year here in Colorado, so I'm going to let you go. But, Mary, I want to thank you so, so much for calling in once again to our New Year's show to wish you happiness and health and much, much great theater. And I hope to see you very soon. That'd be good.
Happy New Year to you and all the folks up in the mountains there.
Thank you, and wishing you really well, and talk to you in next year.
If you do a show a lot like this in the summer, we can do it twice.
You got it. Well, our Tony show. We have our Tony special. You could call in for that. But we'll talk about that. I've got to run. So
okay.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Mary. Right. Happy New Year to you.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Mary Shang Barnage there on the telephone all the way from Chicago. Yay.